back to After the Siren here at 98.7 RPPFM, proudly brought to you by the Bendigo Bank. Well, our next guest is the founder and the CEO of SALT, which stands for Sport and Life Training, and he's been kind enough to join us via mobile phone. So we'll make welcome Dave Burt. Welcome to After the Siren. How are you?
Yes, very well. Thanks for having me on this afternoon.
It's our pleasure. How are you going?
Going really well, really busy because footy season's our busiest time, but really encouraged by working with great people, great clubs, and down your way, in particular the South Eastern Footy League and a lot of clubs down your way.
Yeah, well, you're, as I said, your website is fantastic, mate. You've clearly got a fairly distinguished career, over 30 years as a PE teacher and a school chaplain, so... Clearly, a master's degree in guidance and welfare. So you certainly know your trade, Dave.
I don't know about that. I think most of us sort of fumble our way through and then find something that we enjoy and kind of persevere at that. And I think as a phys ed teacher, sport was always just that vehicle to get to know kids better and to help them to be the best that they could be. And that sort of led into the chaplaincy or the counselling side. And then from that, SALT came out, the notion that, you know, we could try and take the very best of kids as they show it on the sports field and see if we could bring it out of them in other aspects of life as well.
Well, it's a fantastic concept to transform Australian culture through sport. And as you know, the networking through local sporting organisations, clubs and communities, what a great place to start. So... So you've got a range of subjects that you counsel and cover, from alcohol and drug abuse to respect for women, and obviously mental health is another one that's a prominent demon, I suppose, in society, Dave.
Yeah. Look, you mentioned that I was a phys ed teacher, and I used to always wonder why it was that the boys in your footy teams, I always coached footy teams, and they always gave you their best on the field. If you asked them to come off the field, they'd sprint off. They'd put their body on the line for their mate. If they were 15 metres out, they'd handball to the kid who's 5 metres out. So they understood courage, sacrifice, commitment, all these things. They had the potential to be this good. But the same kids that sit in the back row at school and they'd throw a rubber at the kid in the front row, and you know, sometimes they'd be rude to their teacher or rude to their parent because they didn't regard some of those other aspects of life as important as footy. And I wondered what it would be like if we could get those kids to transfer those qualities. So if you would put a block on for your mate on the field, but you're at a party and he's about to cross the floor and use illicit drugs, would you do the same thing? Would you put a block on and stop him from doing that? Or, you know, if you'd show courage on the footy field, would you show courage to speak up about your own mental health issue or to ask someone else how they're going? So it's just about unlocking, I think, that potential that exists, both within individuals, within their sporting clubs, but also just those communities filled with volunteers to start getting the very best out of our clubs and have them become a strong influence in the community.
And part of your time you spent with the Eastern Rangers in the TAC Cup program, and you oversaw the development of their core values, and you helped to implement them and obviously more importantly to try and maintain them, which is, you know, over 20 years now, the TAC system, over 25 years. So clearly must have been an interesting time with those fellas.
That was a terrific time. That was a time that I started to develop these courses, and I started to trial them down there. One of the things I saw with young men at that level was they were very aspirational. You know, most of them hoped and even believed at times that they were going to be drafted, but the reality was that in 2013 we won a premiership by over 100 points, but only 4 boys got drafted. So you can be a very good footballer and not get drafted. And so a lot of these boys were juggling with issues as to how they formed their identity outside of footy, because as kids they were always being told that they were the best, but suddenly they were going to go back to local football in many cases and forge out a normal career. So what does that mean for a boy who's established his reputation on footy and not much else? So, it was a great time and a really supportive club for the work that I was looking to do.
How do you deal with that, with those particularly young guys who are very impressionable, I suppose, 16, 17, 18 years of age, and as you say, their lifelong dream is to you know, be one of that 1% who make the AFL circle and system, but I always wondered, it'd make an interesting documentary, Dave, where are they now type thing, where, you know, what about the 99% who don't get drafted? What, you know, do they go back to local footy? How many games do they play? All that sort of stuff. It'd be interesting to see the statistics.
Yeah, and how many kids give up on football altogether, because they get that ultimate sort of experience at TAC level where, you know, they have a lot of assistance and great grounds and a high standard of football and good standard of umpiring. And then to go back to local level, and it's not the same. So they're kind of spoiled early in a way, and then have to adjust to a much more mediocre kind of football after that. And some do just give it away, which is disappointing. And so one of the ways that I used to deal with it with those boys was just to talk about what was it like when you started playing footy when you were 8 or 9 years of age. And of course, back then they played because it was fun. And, you know, really football ought to be about having fun and about being with your mates. And that's a lot of what we do within the clubs. We strip it back and ask the question, you know, why are we really here? We know what we do. We play footy and we know how to do it, but we lose sight of the why. When we ask clubs, most of the players say it's to be with my mates, it's to be in a positive environment, it's to become the best version of myself that I can be. And I think when clubs start to see a much wider vision of what they can be, then they become much more supportive places. And if a guy gets an injury or he has to give up his career, well, there's still a whole lot more to the football club that's of value than simply your performance on the field.
That makes very good sense, mate. Now, we've just come off National Men's Health Week. How was your week this week? Was there any particular attention or focus more so because it is national, or was National Men's Health Week, Dave?
No, not particularly, although we did do a number of our wellbeing courses. It's really interesting. We do them at all different levels. So we do them with boys under 14 and girls, but you know, we do them also in the Masters Leagues where the guys are 45 plus. And it's really interesting to compare the difference. We did one with an under 17 group during the week, and the boys are very reticent to share about, you know, what they're feeling and experiencing. But interestingly, when we did a group with guys in their 40s and 50s, they were wisened up enough to know that trying to get through this stuff alone and not sharing it is not the way to go. Some of them would talk about, you know, I've bottled it in for 30 years. It's surprising in any footy club how many guys are actually battling with some form of mental health issue or anxiety and perhaps haven't talked about it. But when they get older, they tend to realise, if I don't share it, you know, I'll just go under.
Very, very sad. And what about with our young ladies as well? Because I know you've been going for a couple of years now, your program, Dave. It's a fantastic initiative, mate. How's that all going with the young ladies as well?
Great. We've got a course called Strong is the New Pretty. That phrase was coined by Katie Brennan out of the Western Bulldogs. Well, she used it. She didn't originate it. And she's actually also a great supporter of our program. She's in our program. But this course is about girls widening that sense of where their identity comes from. So rather than being stereotyped as I have to look a certain way and I have to respond the way that boys expect me to, we get them in this course to identify their strengths, to identify the strengths in each other, and to start realising that if they focus on these strengths and grow these strengths and apply them, then they become the best versions of themselves. You know, we've got a lot of girls walking around with really damaged identities about who they are and really warped expectations on who they're, you know, supposed to be in terms of, you know, what social media expects and, you know, some of the sexual pressures that boys place upon them. So giving them that sense of empowerment is what that course is about. And we're getting terrific results. We want to thank the MCC who've given us some funding to get it out to about 20 girls' clubs. And also the Melbourne Racing Foundation are supporting us down in the South Eastern Footy League to roll out some healthy club projects in clubs where we're going to be working with Crib Point, Hastings, Coringle, Red Hill, Mount Eliza, Dramana, Seaford, Chelsea, a lot of clubs down that way. We've already done some work at Bond Beach and Rosebud and Edie Aspey, Piercedale. So we're getting a great lot of support to start rolling these units out into clubs.
Well, it's a fantastic initiative, and for all of our listeners who may not be aware, just go to your website, obviously, and get all your information there, and obviously how the clubs can get involved by making contact with yourself, Dave. It clearly sounds like you've got a busy agenda already ahead of you, mate.
Oh, oh, yeah, well, you know, we're a not-for-profit. We need to make that clear. And the reason we set ourselves up was so that it would be affordable for clubs. In the past, there were organisations doing this kind of work, but they were expensive and clubs couldn't afford them. So we've received quite a bit of funding from outside to enable us to keep our prices really low. And we only use trained teachers. And we use an app which enables participants to give real-time confidential data to us. We don't know who's saying what, but we can get feedback on how many in the room are going through a mental health issue, how many have got issues with drugs and alcohol. Nobody knows who's said what, but we can have a specific conversation to that room and say, OK, we've got six guys in the room who've got a mental health issue or whatever it is. So that means it's not a, you know, one-size-fits-all type presentation, but a very specific kind of facilitation of a conversation around those issues. So the website is Sport and Life Training. Don't type in salt or you just get this white powdery stuff. But sportandlifetraining.com.au, and we'd love to hear from any clubs that would like to get involved.
Well, keep up the fantastic work, Dave, and we really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us today. Good luck with the rest of the football season down here with our football and netball clubs. You've mentioned a number of them that you're already booked into, and good luck with Crib Point in, I think it's next week, next Thursday night.
Yeah, I think so. And we'll start cricket soon too, so if there's any cricket clubs out there that want to get involved, we'd love to get involved. We're doing little athletics and basketball, so it's not just specific to footy.
No worries, Dave. Well, thanks for joining us today on After the Siren, mate.